A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies.
Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa. I almost forgot what we say to when you took your breath to intro us. Panicked for a sec.
How often do you, I feel like one of the things I end up doing is I start saying catchphrases from other people's podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the other podcasts I listen to Love It or Leave It a lot. So sometimes I'll be like, let's get into it.
I like that.
He says that a lot.
Yeah.
But it's in my head now.
Yeah.
It just feels like an intro.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, welcome to the Baby Geniuses podcast. We're here to talk to you about...
summer fun.
Summer fun. Yeah. Specifically, the movie 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, my God. We really do have a theme this episode.
Yeah. Did you rewatch? I've never seen 500 Days of Summer.
I did. Let's get right into it.
Let's get into it.
I vaguely remembered not liking it. And then I was thinking about it recently and I was like, oh, well, you know, he's an architect in that movie. Speckle's an architect on my show. And I'm just sort of curious, like, how it holds up. And so I saw it on Hulu and I was like, yeah, I'll turn it on while I'm in the bath. Why not? And I turned it on and just from right off the get-go, it is so offensive. It opens with a hate note to a woman named Jenny Beckman. It says, right when the movie starts, it says, author's note, the following is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental, especially you, Jenny Beckman, bitch. And I was like, what the fuck? So I immediately paused, Googled, Jenny Beckman's a real woman and the inspiration for the character Summer. And the screenwriter...
They used her real name?
Her real name. And the screenwriter dated her, Scott Neustadter. I don't know how to say his last name. And when she dumped him, he wrote a movie about it. And apparently he like showed her the screenplay at some point and she, even though they had were not on speaking terms, and she related more to the male lead character.
Of course.
Which makes sense because the female
lead was probably written with humanity.
Exactly. The female lead is not written to be a human. And some people argue like, oh, well, the movie is making a point about that and it's subverting. And it's like, no, it's not. It's really not. Like if you watch it,
he made it very clear from the first frame that I haven't seen it. So describe the movie. Like, what is it about?
It's about a young man, Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays him, and he falls in love immediately with this woman played by Zooey Deschanel, who starts working in his office as an assistant. And all his friends are like, oh, I hate it when pretty girls are bitches, you know, and she's so pretty, but she's mean. And then she's not, she's nice. And then he starts to date her, but she keeps saying that she doesn't want a serious relationship. It's 500 days of summer. So we keep seeing vignettes of the different days and it moves back and forth in time a lot. And you know, right away that the relationship's going to fall apart. And yeah, it's just like kind of a romance, but not, it's like an anti-romance movie in a way. And in a way, the movie's sort of about how he sees her as like a prize to be won instead of as a person. But then the movie doesn't actually like subvert that in any real way.
Yeah, it's just
in
like,
my opinion,
you should feel sorry for this guy for losing his prize.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's and it just
in the words of Princess Jasmine, I am not some prize to be won.
It's just, and it's really hard to watch. It just, like, so many parts of the movie, just, it feels like it's negging me while watching.
Oh, God.
Like when we were introduced to her, it, like, flashes up, like, she was average height, 5'5", average weight, and then her weight is quite low. Above average shoe size, size 8. And it's just like, fuck you!
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Like, right away, just not for female viewers, not keeping us in mind as an audience. I just hated it so much.
Now I want to look up what else this guy's done. His name's Scott Neustadter.
Yeah, he's done quite a lot. He's had a very successful screenwriting career in the director.
This guy.
The director.
He wrote The Disaster Artist.
Yes, he did. Mark Webb, the director, has also gone on to do other things. And, you know, they just...
Wow. Fuck this guy.
His wife is works for Reese Witherspoon's company. She's a producer.
Man.
Don't look these people up and tell them.
Yeah, should I be like just publicly trashing this guy?
Maybe not.
It seems like he sucks.
He's in our industry.
Yeah, whatever.
I hate this movie. I don't know if this guy's nice or whatever, but or not.
It seems probably not. Unless he issued an apology, which I'd be okay with.
It's so crazy how stuff like that was fine like 10 years ago and how much maybe people would be fine with it now. I don't know. But I think the industry has changed a lot or.
Yeah, I'm encouraged by changes in also like journalism about the industry, like, yeah, cultural criticism about movies like that.
Yeah, I think that no one would stand for this now. And like, I don't know, I assume this person had to sign a bunch of waivers before they used her name, but it has completely ruined her Google results. Like, oh, you can't find her.
Assume she'd signed a bunch of waivers.
I think she would have to, or she would have like grounds to sue. But like, I saw an interview where the director was like, yeah, she like unfriended the screenwriter on Facebook and don't look her up on Facebook. Don't try to friend her. Like, and it's just so obvious that that's her real name. It's just,
yeah, what the fuck?
So fucked up.
You didn't have to use a last name. She would have still known you were talking about her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that still would have turned me off the movie to just open with the word bitch. It's funny. I love the word bitch. I think it's so funny, but just the way certain people wield it, it's immediately just a, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In the wrong hands, it is a very much a gendered slur.
Yeah. Words can be different depending on context.
Yeah. And that's the point of this podcast. This week and every week, even the weeks when we don't release an episode. So we're all spending our summers wisely.
Don't make that movie part of your hot, horny summer.
Yeah, I attended a horny summer film screening last weekend.
How was that?
The movie they were showing was The Boy Next Door with Jennifer Lopez. And I did not find it to be a horny movie at all, even though there is sex in it.
Wow.
Because it's mostly just like she sleeps with this teenager and then he goes crazy and is like obsessed with her and tries to kill her family.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's another one in those long line of movies where they're like, a young man wants to have sex with an older woman because he is insane. That kind of trope.
And everyone must be punished for this transgression. Oh my God.
Kristen Chenoweth is in it with the most Karen-y haircut you've ever seen and also talks about being friends with a bunch of cops.
I love Kristen Chenoweth. I think she's great.
She's great. I think she's incredibly talented, but there were just a lot of choices made with this movie.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Lopez play. I mean, the main thing you probably know about this movie is that Jennifer Lopez plays a classics professor or a classics teacher at a high school, and the boy next door gives her a first edition copy of the Iliad by Homer, which is not possible. But that happens in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Was it like carved into the side of a cliff right, or like
just like he shows up with a bunch of rocks at her house? No, it's like an English language bound copy clearly from, you know, the 1800s.
Yeah, an old copy, not the first.
Not a first edition.
That's really funny.
That was the only thing I knew about the movie going into it, was that that was going to happen. And then the rest of it is just upsetting.
Was J-Lo good in it?
I mean, I don't even know how to answer that question.
Yeah, that's a hard question.
You know, she was trying her best.
She was good in Hustlers.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's talented.
Yeah.
I think the guy
she's compelling to watch.
I think the guy who directed it ended up being a pedophile.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was bad. I'm not having the horniest summer of all time, I'd say, just by the movies I'm watching. Because I watched that and I watched the Downton Abbey movie.
Oh yeah, that's not that horny.
No.
How is it, the movie?
The movie is fine. It's just the show. It's the same as the show in that, like, the ultimate point is that, like, the servants just love to serve if they're good people.
Oh, my God.
It's like the whole plot of the Downton Abbey movie is that the queen is coming for a visit and the servants are, like, mad that they're not allowed to serve the queen dinner. And so they commit subterfuge to avoid having a day off from serving.
Wow.
And now I'm rewatching the show and, you know, it's fine. It's very melodramatic, but it really is like the only servants who ever complain about serving get the worst possible punishments. It's a very,
that's a strong POV.
Yeah. It's got a very strong POV of like, the old ways. And it's supposed to be about like times are changing. Things can't be this way forever. But then they're like, we've saved Downton once again. That's just like every season of the show.
I stopped watching when Matthew wasn't on it anymore.
Yeah. I just caught up to the point when he dies and
he was so cute.
He was so cute. And it's so frustrating when you know that they kill a character just because they don't want to be on the show anymore.
Yeah.
And
he got really, really skinny and then he just wanted to be in movies or something. I don't know.
I wonder what it was like to be on that show.
Yeah. Maybe it sucked.
Maybe it sucked.
Yeah. No, judgment. You know,
you have to imagine, though, that the work days weren't that strenuous because like they're sitting down so much. And also there's like 800 cast members. So they probably only shoot one day a week.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming too much.
I could talk about another show with summer in the title. I've been watching Cruel Summer on Hulu, which I enjoy. Oh. It's like very pulpy and like, you know, I don't quite know how it'll pay off, but it's fun. And the actors are good. And Imogen Binney wrote on it. She's an author I really like.
Oh, cool.
And also Kevin Smith's daughter is in it. She plays one of the main parts and her name is Harley Quinn Smith.
Oh, yeah. Which I knew that.
Really funny. And there are several scenes where she says, oh, can we just watch Clerks?
Shut up. There's several scenes.
Several. There was one and I was like, oh, haha, okay. And then it happened again. Like, oh, can we please just go watch Clerks?
What the fuck? I need just, to know who is responsible for that happening.
Who's responsible? And it's just watching that, I'm just like, who's that for?
Who's that? It's for Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
It's for him and no one else.
It is like there is something sweet about her, like loving
her
dad.
She's not saying that.
No.
Wait, so what's the show about?
It really takes me out of it. The show is about a high school girl who, it's two high school girls. One of them is really popular. One of them's a dork. And then she rises up and becomes popular and starts dating the other one's boyfriend. Meanwhile, the other one has been abducted and has disappeared for months and months. And then it turns out like the high school principal like abducted her and kept her in his basement. And then she,
spoiler alert,
but this is all becomes clear in like the first episode.
Oh, okay.
And then she comes back and she says, you, the other high school girl who basically took her position in popularity and dating her boyfriend, you saw me and you didn't tell the police that I was trapped. And then the rest of the season is just playing out. Like, did she see her? Did she evilly take her place? Or is she just like a typical high school girl who wants to be popular?
Interesting. I mean, I don't know if that's actually interesting.
It is. Yeah.
It's intriguing.
It's fun. They're really milking it and drawing it out. And I don't know how it'll resolve, but, I'm enjoying it.
That sounds fun. I've been having a hard time finding, like, there's so much good TV right now, and I've been watching a lot of it, and I've been having a hard time finding, like, I'm resisting the urge to watch another season of Love Island,
yeah.
So I've been trying to find other stuff to put on, like, when I want to watch something bad.
I watched Starstruck.
Oh, did you like it?
Yes, I liked it very much.
Isn't it fun?
It's really fun.
It's fun. I like it
a lot.
It's
very sweet, and they're making another season, right?
I hope so.
I think they are.
They better.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's really sweet.
Yeah.
It's very, very Notting Hill, but like.
Yes. Yeah. But in a very fun way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I started trying to watch this show called Backyard Builds. It's like a home renovation show where they like build stuff in people's backyards. And I had to stop because I hated the hosts too much.
Yeah.
I've never loathe anyone on TV as much as these people.
What was the so bad about
they
them?
They keep saying, wah, wah.
Oh, no, don't say that out loud.
And they really think they're very funny. It's like they laugh at stuff like that as if they invented it. And I really like, it's another one of those, like, the man is the contractor and the woman is the designer and they work together on the plans and, you know, but they're like, they've got chemistry and it's fun. You know, that's the whole like gist of it. Very like flip or flop.
Yeah.
But her. I hate her. And I feel bad because I feel like he actually has stuff to offer. But in multiple episodes, I saw her make like garden planters that had no drainage in them.
Oh.
And I was just like,
what are you doing?
Building an herb garden that will surely die.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? And all of her design ideas are terrible, in my opinion. And she just, I feel terrible that I hate her so much, but I can't watch it.
I mean, yeah, hosts need to be likable. They need to be good. That's like their whole thing.
Yeah. Their tastes are very basic, which I expect, but to also not be practical in that way is really frustrating to me.
I hate that.
Yeah. But I wanted to see them build like tree houses and stuff.
Yeah.
And they make kind of cool stuff, but it was like one of those things I was like, this is supposed to be really easy to watch and I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How are you feeling about like going out and about and seeing people and all that?
You're like, stop watching it and go outside.
I've also been watching a lot of things.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I feel like I crossed a threshold in the past like couple weeks where like seeing people have started to begin, like seeing people is no longer just talking practice and people have started finding ways to actually articulate what's going on in their lives versus feeling so overwhelmed with how much there is to say to people that they don't know where to start and don't know how to put it into words.
Wow.
And I feel like that as well for myself of like, oh yeah, what, you know, people are starting to find ways of describing what happened. You know, people are like processing the last year of their lives and find, you know, so it's becoming more fulfilling, I'd say, to see people. But then it's like people are like, what about this variant? I don't know what to do.
I know. I really feel like I put my little J&J vaccine to the test last weekend because I went to two parties that were packed and hopefully everyone was vaccinated, but who knows? And like, you know, one of them was supposed to be an outdoor party, but it was too hot. It was like 100 degrees. So we all had to be indoors. And I think it was fine, but it was still like now that the variant is spreading more. And I'm hearing about just anecdotally about people with the vaccine who've gotten sick.
Yeah.
Not hospitalized, not super sick, which is fine. That's important. But, you know, I still don't want to.
Yeah. Like it still provides protection, but you still don't want to get it. And you don't want to spread it to someone else.
No. So that, yeah. Squashes my enthusiasm a little bit for going out, but
yeah, like I still prefer outdoor dining.
Yeah, me too. So I think I'll still stay masked and careful.
Yeah, like I'm definitely still avoiding like publicly crowded indoor places. I'm still gonna stay masked whenever I go to the grocery store and stuff like that.
But same.
I'm doing therapy in person.
Ooh,
which is nice, but also. I can't play games on my phone anymore while I do therapy.
That's probably good.
It's probably
just to
good.
Get your like money's worth out of an appointment.
I mean, it's like I could still multitask. I'm not doing a crossword where I have to like think about what the words mean.
But, so you would talk like while playing a game? Like how do you? Huh.
Just with headphones in.
Oh, so you're not looking at each other. You're just talking.
Yeah, we were just talking on the phone. We wouldn't do like.
Wow.
God, I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Did she notice? Was she like, you sound distracted?
I have no idea. She never said that.
Mine, we would do face-to-face over like a Zoom.
How was that?
It was all right. It would get frustrating when like our internet wasn't working and then we'd try FaceTime and then phone call and just, frustrating. So I might go back to in-person, but it is really convenient to be able to just pop into therapy and then quickly dab my tears away and then go to work.
It's also like, Alan is not adjusting well to me going back to my normal life.
Yeah.
He does not like me leaving the house. But it's good. I mean, I'm glad that I'm doing it again. Like, he needs to get used to it.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, how are you feeling about getting back to life?
I'm okay. I mean, I keep hearing it's supposed to be like a hot, horny summer. And I'm kind of like, okay, like maybe that can be like a state of mind, you know, because I have like bad guts and pelvic dysfunction. So I don't know how horny I could be, but yeah, I'll try.
I also think that is...
It's all in the attitude, right?
That's more for people who didn't like live with a partner during the pandemic. Like they're doing their horny summer thing because they haven't been fucking.
That makes sense. You know? I would like to participate. I'm such a dork.
There are things like that where I'm like, I understand that I am too privileged to be partaking in this. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, this is not for me.
I should remove myself from
the... I should acknowledge that I was married throughout the pandemic and this is for the people who were alone, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I support them. I want them to have the hot, horny summer of their lives, but...
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I could remove myself from that.
But I feel like I'm not, like, my boobs have been really hurting for, like, the last 3 weeks, and I don't know why. I probably need to see the doctor.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I'm not having a very horny summer. I'm like, don't touch me.
Is it in a specific place, or is it all over?
It's just sort of, like, all over both of them. So, which makes me think it's not, like, a specific, like, lump or anything. It's just, like, they're just sort of tender.
That seems...
Should I not be talking about this on a public podcast?
We're going to get a bunch of diagnoses over.
I mean, the other email. Thing, too, is that, like, Alan has been having some weight issues because we switched his food, this whole thing.
Yeah, like, I heard he's on a diet.
He's on a diet now. We have to, like, get him down. But in order to, like, track his weight, it means, like, I've been having to weigh myself.
No.
Because I have to, like, to step on the scale.
I said no because I don't have a scale and the thought of weighing myself frightens me.
Listen, this is not something I ever do.
Yeah, I
don't
like
to weigh myself.
I don't like to do that.
Aside from when I'm, like, at the doctor and they make me.
Yeah.
But I've had to weigh myself in order to, like, figure out what his weight is because I'll, like, weigh myself with him and then without. And I've hit my, like, all-time high. And so maybe my boobs are just way heavier. And they're, like, knocking around.
Oh, maybe.
That might be why.
Or it could be hormonal. I don't know.
I don't know. Could be. Maybe. It's lasted too long to just be, like, my period.
Maybe your hot, horny girl summer is just going to the doctor in person a bunch. Now that's safe again.
Yeah, I haven't made those appointments, but I really need to.
Yeah.
Well, should we do what on fun? Or Chunch Chat?
Yes. Wait, quickly, though. Yeah. I wanted to say I have a new car crush.
Oh,
and I just want to mention
what your horny summer is about.
That's my horny summer. The Isuzu. I'm not saying this right. Isuzu Vihicross.
Vihicross.
That is a cute.
Rob's giving a big
fucking car.
Thumbs up.
It looks kind of like a Nissan Xterra, but it's more silly.
Oh my God. This car looks like a croc.
It's a croc. It's a toy. It's like it's got this plastic like. Wrap around the bottom.
Yeah.
It's and the yellow and black one specifically.
The yellow and black one specifically. Yeah.
There was one for sale on Cars and Bids recently, but it gets like 15 miles per gallon. I know.
That's so bad.
But it's just, why can't they make stuff so funky again? It's so funny looking. I love
it. It looks like a bumper car.
Yeah. It's got like Subaru Baja vibes. So that's my new car crush. I really like hearing people kind of crawl out to say that they also like cars.
Yeah, I think been happening more now that you've been going public with it.
Yeah, I think like I don't like people who outwardly really like cars and wear like a lot of car merch tend to like the kind of cars I don't like. Like they're very like a little bit macho about it. But I like, you know, the kind of soft car nerds that are letting themselves be known.
How do you feel about a Dodge Charger?
A Dodge Charger. That sounds kind of masculine, maybe, but wait.
Are you going to look it up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Rob is saying no.
Yeah.
It doesn't... yeah, this looks kind of like Mustang-y to me.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. The vintage one is really great. But the newer ones, yeah, they look a little muscly to me.
The reason why I ask is because I've never seen a Dodge Charger on the road that wasn't driven by a total fucking asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
They're always cutting people off. I've never seen a polite driver in one of those cars.
And I think if you're driving a car with this much oomph to it, it's hard to drive it politely because it just doesn't want to be driven that way. I know I'm taking responsibility away from the driver right now and putting it on the car, but I think that's just, I think when you drive different cars, you drive them a different way. Like, I'm not going to drive a Prius like this.
Yeah. Do you think that there's something inside the Dodge Charger that's like, when you put on your turn signal, it says like, what are you, a pussy?
Yeah. Oh my God. I saw the worst person in my whole life the other day driving. She was weaving all over, would not use her turn signal at all. And the whole time I was driving behind her, which was for like 20 minutes, she was going the same way as me, she kept putting her hand out her window and dropping bits of trash on the street.
Oh my God.
And I got so mad. I almost wanted to just walk up to her at a stoplight and be like, what are you doing? But I didn't, because I'm not totally insane.
Yeah, because she would have run you off the road.
Probably.
And thrown trash at you.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Chunch Chat. We'll be right back with Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch.
Baby Geniuses is brought to you by KiwiCo.
KiwiCo. We love KiwiCo. Education is really important. And I think my strongest memories of school and the things I learned were when things were demonstrated and when I got to do stuff that was hands-on.
Mine was picking bones out of owl pellets.
Yes, we did that too.
That was like the best thing I did in school.
And it was so gross.
So gross and so cool.
And so cool.
Ugh. Did you find a vole skull in yours?
Probably. Yeah, I did. I think it was like a mouse skull.
Yeah.
But also the owl pellets that we were collecting were from the owl's nest that was right across the street from my house. And whenever we caught mice in our house, we would release them underneath the palm tree that the owls lived in.
Oh, my God.
So it could have been a mouse from my very own home.
Wow.
Anyway, our childhood experiences impact who we are today.
We're creepy freaks, just like we were as kids.
Wonderful geniuses.
Yes, yes.
Just like our investment in childhood education. So why not gift your young innovators super cool STEAM projects to nurture their curiosity and exploration outside the classroom? I received a project. This was not a STEAM-related one, but it was the Punch Needle Embroidery Kit.
Ooh, how was that?
Which was so great and really easy and really fun. And I got to make a little pillow, and now it's on my guest bed. And I get to be like, I made that. And it was really easy and fun.
What's the image on it that you did?
I just did like an abstract image with some dots and stuff. But they gave me really nice, like cool-looking yarn colors. Where I was like, any one of these would end up looking really cool.
That's what I like about KiwiCo, is that they have projects for all ages. So like, you can make your child smarter, or if you're a childless nerd like me, you can just do like one of their projects while you watch TV or something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the materials are really high quality. The step-by-step instructions are really clear. And there are just so many different projects you can choose from that will really like help cement in your mind the lessons that you learn from doing them.
KiwiCo does the legwork for you, with everything your child needs for their project included in every crate so they can get started right away.
Crates include 1 to 2 larger projects or 2 to 3 smaller projects tied together by an engaging theme.
From sailing the solar system to building an animation machine and more.
With KiwiCo, there's something for every kid or kid at heart every month.
Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/geniuses.
That's KiwiCo.com/geniuses. And you can Google how to spell geniuses if you want to, because it's hard. Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a
picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about chunch. Chunch. So Martha sadly ruptured her Achilles tendon due to a surprise step into a hole in the dark while getting out of a car. I'm like, where are her people? They should be preventing that from happening.
There should be a man with a glove who's gently helping her out of every car she leaves.
Always. But, you know, she is a very self-sufficient woman. So maybe she waved him away and then stepped her foot in that hole. But she's taking lots of pics of her bandage wrapped foot with its pedicure, with sort of a champagne colored nail polish, I would say.
Okay.
So probably no riding for her. That's what I took away from that.
Yeah.
No riding for a while.
I bet you're right.
Yeah. Too bad. Also her barn manager trainer, has moved on to new pastures. She's been working for her for like, I don't know, 6 to 8 years or something. And she, is moving on.
Wow.
And I was looking at her Instagram and she did have some really nice footage of the horses frolicking. So
just to say goodbye.
Yeah. So bon voyage to her. Yeah, that's all I got.
Does that conclude Chench Chat?
Yeah.
That concludes Chench Chat. We'll be right back with One on Fun.
One on Fun.
Emily.
Yes.
Have you ever pranked your husband?
Oh, probably. He doesn't like pranks.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, I talked about it on this podcast. One time I did like early Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That was a prank, kind of.
Yeah? Just giving a present early?
No, like, so he was in the shower.
You got him.
While he was in the shower. While he was in the shower, I like quickly assembled our like fake Christmas tree. It was like early December. It was like December 2nd or something.
Yeah.
I like quickly assembled our Christmas tree and put up stockings, and like the stocking was full of presents and stuff.
How long
and,
was like, the shower?
I don't know, like half an hour.
Right.
It was, I did it really fast,
yeah.
But I also didn't have time to put on pants. And like I was gonna go put on my pajamas or something, but then he came out of the shower.
I'm
and
imagining
I was
like the top half of you is all Santa costume and then nothing, completely nude bottom half.
No, top half was just I was wearing a t-shirt and then bottom half was just underwear.
Yeah.
And then he came out of the shower and I was like, Peter, something crazy happened while you were in the shower. And he was like, what? And I was like, Santa came. And he was like, he said he was, that I had like the most manic look on my face the entire time. And so he like came out and saw the presents and I guess, is that a prank?
Yeah. Yeah, that counts. That is so funny. I feel like pranking your partner always comes with that kind of manic, like,
yeah.
Hey, why don't you go look in the other room? You know, just like,
yeah. Anyone send you any fun texts lately?
Yeah. Just like, complete impatience and
yeah,
excitement.
I probably have pulled some other pranks on him that I just can't remember that were all very stupid.
I did one recently.
What'd you do?
So Adam got this little, I think it came in a gift basket or something, this tiny little metal bear that's reading a book, and I hate it. And the bear looks evil and it has little sharp teeth. I hate it so much. And he was like, but I want to keep it. I want to display it. I'm like, ugh, fine. So he displayed it in that bathroom back there. I really don't like it. And I, while he was out of town, I took the bear and hid it to see if he would notice it missing, because I hate it so much.
Uh-huh.
He immediately noticed. I tried to pretend for a while, like, I don't know what happened. And then I bashfully brought it out. And I was like, shoot, well, if this bear is going to continue to be here, I need to like the bear as well. So I went on Etsy and I ordered a tiny toilet, like for a dollhouse. And I put the bear on the toilet. And it also came with little accessories, like it has a toilet brush and like little tiny toilet paper and Kleenex box. And I set that up like all cute and then waited for Adam to notice.
Oh, my God.
And he went into that bathroom and I was just like, I like yelled through the door. I'm like, you like that? Isn't our bathroom nice? Like just trying to get him to notice. And then I like heard him yell.
What did he yell?
He was just like, ah, and then he started laughing and he really liked it.
That's fun.
Yeah. It gave me a brief bit of joy. I know.
All right.
Look at.
Oh my God. Annie is just very funny right now.
She's trying to get attention.
Rob's taking a picture. We should both post this on our Instagram.
She's ridiculous.
She's very ridiculous. That's very funny.
She goes full corpse when she wants attention. All right, now you ask me a question.
Lisa, what's in your pockets right now?
What's in my pockets? I don't have pockets.
Oh, what's usually in your pockets?
Usually a phone, my keys, and then some Altoids in case I want a mint. I'm sort of addicted to Altoids, even though I'm trying to stop. And then my AirPods.
Oh, yeah.
And then some dog treats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was my question as interesting as your question?
Yeah,
probably not.
So. And that was an order of how often I have that thing in my pocket to least often.
All right. That concludes One on Fun. We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week.
Great. Baby Geniuses is brought to you by Native.
Are you seeing people again? Did you know that sometimes you stink?
Are you a little self-conscious about that?
Do you remember that it's nice to not stink when you go and hug people again for the first time in a year?
Well, Native has your back. Native cares about the products you put on your body. They're about stopping the stink the right way.
You probably already know about Native's legendary aluminum-free deodorant, but have you tried their body wash, toothpaste, or their brand new mineral-based sunscreen?
Oh, they sent us some of their body wash that's rosé scent.
I love it.
So good.
I love it. It's my new favorite.
Me too. I have really sensitive skin and it hasn't made me break out or anything.
Same. Yeah. My skin will turn like bright pink if I use something that is even a little bit poisonous. And that has not happened with my Native body wash. You can even build your own personalized product bundles. Mix and match three of your favorite scents and keep them on rotation so you have something for every occasion. You can also give them as a gift to the people you live with so that they smell the way you want them to smell.
Hello.
How do you like that as a nice passive aggressive gift idea?
I put on some of my Native deodorant this morning and Adam was like, "Ooh, you smell nice. You put on a scent." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm really dirty. He can't even tell." I covered it up.
Incog stinko.
Stay fresh, stay clean with Native by going to nativedeo.com/geniuses or use promo code geniuses at checkout and get 20% off your first order.
That's nativedeo.com/geniuses or use promo code geniuses at checkout for 20% off your first order. And you should Google how to spell geniuses before you put that in case you're unsure, because it's a tricky word.
I don't know.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband, host Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife, host Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, schmanners. Get it?
All right.
Wiki of the week. It's the wikiest wiki of the week. Are we singing out loud? I'm sorry.
This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Erica DeSautels. Thank you.
Thank you,
Erica. It is the Wikipedia page for DashCon.
DashCon was a fan convention catering primarily to users of the blogging service Tumblr. Remember that?
Remember Tumblr?
Remember Tumblr, everybody?
Remember Tumblr?
Remember? With a particular emphasis on fandoms. Can't imagine anything going wrong with this.
No, it seems like a recipe for a perfect weekend.
Held over the weekend of July 11th, 2014, in Schaumburg, Illinois, the inaugural convention quickly became infamous for allegations of mismanagement and corruption among organizers, an alleged abrupt demand by the hotel for an upfront payment of cash for use of its facilities, and celebrity guests being forced to drop out of the convention after they were informed by the hotel that they would be responsible for paying for their rooms. A small ball pit placed in one of the halls became a meme after organizers offered attendees an extra hour in the pit, along with raffle and concert tickets, as reimbursement for a canceled panel.
Oh my God. A full hour in a ball pit. Can you imagine that incentivizing anything?
You know, I haven't been in a ball pit since I was very small, and I think I was never in a ball pit for as long as I would have wanted to be.
Right.
So this does sound appealing on the surface. Like,
yeah, but as an adult, I think I can go into a ball pit for as long as I want. And then I don't think
how long
I don't think that I'm going to be in there and be like, I need to stay longer.
Yeah, I wonder how long I would want to be in a ball pit.
I don't think as long.
Probably not. That's so sad.
Organizers for DashCon initially stated they were going to hold a second DashCon in 2015, despite the issues faced by the inaugural edition. But officially announced via a Tumblr post in September 2014 that DashCon LLP was going to be dissolved and all its assets liquidated, meaning that they were not going to hold a second convention. The post also denied claims that a similarly themed convention, Emoticon, was a rebranded DashCon.
Wow. Concept. DashCon was originally announced in mid-2013 under the name TumbleCon USA as a convention catered to users of the blogging platform Tumblr, which I had at the time. I was really into Tumblr for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I deleted it. and was touted as the largest gathering of Tumblr users to date. Sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
The convention was to focus on works that had developed significant followings among Tumblr users, such as Doctor Who, Sherlock, Supernatural, and the podcast Welcome to Night Vale. The convention raised money through ticket pre-orders, along with a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo. Prior to the start of the convention, the name of the event was changed to DashCon, alluding to the site's dashboard feed to indicate that it was not officially associated with Tumblr.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Convention. The convention was organized by DashCon LLP, a Hudson, Ohio-based limited liability partnership owned by Megan Eli and Roxanne Schweiterman. DashCon was held from July 11th to 13th, 2014 at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel. Among the guests originally scheduled to attend were actor Doug Jones, webcomic artist Noelle Stevenson, and the cast of Welcome to Night Vale.
On the evening of July 11th, the first night of DashCon, early reports began to surface from attendees that events occurring at the convention were poorly planned and attended, a vendor had left due to poor sales, and minors had been admitted into 18-plus rated panels.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's bad.
That's bad.
The convention itself also began to experience unexpected financial difficulties. A DashCon staff member claimed that the staff of the Renaissance purportedly informed them that they would need to pay $20,000 upfront for the use of the facilities or shut the convention down. DashCon organizers claim to have verbally negotiated to pay the venue gradually throughout the convention using ticket sales rather than issuing an upfront payment despite their contract suggesting otherwise.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a little messy.
Yeah. At 9 p.m. Central Time, as a result of this unexpected development, the DashCon organizers began to publicly solicit donations among a crowd of around 350 attendees, itself much lower than the original estimate of 3,000 to 7,000 attendees, and online via PayPal to cover costs, with a goal of collecting at least $17,000 by 10 p.m. to prevent the convention from being shut down.
So for 1 hour, they're just like shaking down all the
350 people. So, okay, wait, let me just do some quick math here. They, in order to make that nut, each of those attendees would have had to give them $50. I guess that's not that crazy, but
it's so weird.
It's so weird. And wow. So, did you hear about this at the time?
No, I don't remember this.
I don't remember this, but this also could be something that I heard about and abruptly forgot.
Yeah.
Organizers speculated that the abrupt change in plans was because the hotel's management, quote, did not like the people at the con. Attendees were seen performing a three-fingered salute from the Hunger Games, chanting lines from High School Musical, and singing Queen's We Are the Champions and Do You Hear the People Sing from Les Miserables. While the organizers managed to raise the necessary funds, the incident raised suspicion among attendees over the possibility of the crowdfunding drive being a scam, which included disputes over the authenticity of an image of the bill printed on hotel stationery, which was released by a staff member, or being further proof of the alleged mismanagement and corruption.
Wow. Several guests, including Noelle Stevenson, who had to moderate their own panel because the scheduled moderator was absent, the Baker Street Babes, who produced an all-female Sherlock Holmes podcast, and the Welcome to Night Vale cast, were also informed by the hotel that they would be responsible for paying for their own rooms, despite previously being told that the rooms would be paid for by the convention itself. And they're fucking special guests, so they should not have to pay for their expenses. Stevenson would ultimately join the Welcome to Night Vale cast for the night in accommodation obtained by via Airbnb. Wow. Oh. So they just had to make their own arrangements. The appearance by the Welcome to Night Vale cast was ultimately canceled. Organizers did not issue refunds, but instead reimbursed those who had purchased tickets for the panel with tickets to a raffle of various autographed collectibles.
Oh my God.
Admission to a concert with the Chicago-based Doctor Who-inspired rock band Time Crash. And an extra hour with the ball pit.
Oh my God. Not in the ball pit, with the ball pit.
With the ball pit.
Mm-hmm. You'll go to lunch with the ball pit and ask all your questions. Oh, wow. Reception and aftermath.
Ooh, more about the ball pit.
The ball pit, roughly the size of a kiddie pool.
Oh, that's small.
in an otherwise empty concession hall, and the notion of an extra hour in it quickly became a meme among attendees and other Tumblr users, inspiring parodies. Wow. Users envisioned other large quantities of items that could have been purchased with the $17,000, and a video game developer created DashCon Simulator 2014, a comedic simulation of the convention's ball pit. Convention guest Mark Oshiro explained that the ball pit was, quote, not a point of interest, it wasn't something a single soul talked about, and it was just a quirky thing that existed, and that in order to support the idea that DashCon was a full 100% disaster, every single detail was used to paint the con and the people at it as horrific failures of humanity.
Well, it did seem like a failure.
Yeah.
And this ball pit does seem very pathetic.
Yeah. I mean, I have empathy for the people who bit off more than they could chew.
Yeah. But I don't know if I would defend
this. It's not Firefest level, but it's definitely... There's some hubris going on here
that
deserves puncturing.
Yeah. In the aftermath of the convention, a staff member of the hotel stated that the facility did enjoy their presence, while DashCon staff promised to provide a more thorough explanation of what had occurred. That's so weird. So the hotel's like, yeah, no, we were fine with it. We didn't mind it. The Baker Street Babes reported that the hotel payment issue was, according to organizers, a mistake. Stevenson, whose hotel payment had not yet been resolved, defended criticism of DashCon by other users, arguing that they were unfamiliar with what typically occurs at a convention in the first place. Yeah, I'm with them on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emoticon. In September 2014, the Daily Dot published an article where they reported on concerns that DashCon had renamed, rebranded itself Emoticon. The writer noted that the two conventions were nearly identical in their themes, that Emoticon was to be held in the same venue that the second DashCon was to be hosted at. The Emoticon website contained much of the same text as the DashCon website, and that it was being organized by one of the co-creators of DashCon.
Imagine, like, going through all of this and then being like, I'm going to do that again. Like,
yeah.
That just seems so scammy.
It's so scammy. But also imagine, so, like, best case scenario, it's not the same people and someone else is like, so that was a huge failure. Maybe I'll try it. But I will say, I had the same thought about Fire Festival. I was like, I bet I could do that.
The hubris.
Clearly people would want to go.
Well, yeah.
But there's no way it could pay for itself.
No.
Right?
It's so hard to organize stuff like that without any experience. And just, God, there were so many red flags that it was going awry and they just ignored all of them.
They just ignored all of them.
I love Firefest. I love thinking about it.
I love it so much. I just can't stop thinking about it.
It's my favorite festival.
DashCon later denied that the two cons were the same via a post on their official Tumblr account where they stated that while Emoticon was being organized by two of the three... Excuse me. That was a burp. That made me sound really cool.
Real Rick and Morty moment on there.
While Emoticon was being organized by two... All right, pull yourselves together. This is an important sentence that I'm about to say. DashCon later denied that the two cons were the same via a post on their official Tumblr account, where they stated that while Emoticon was being organized by two of the three owners of DashCon, the two events are otherwise unrelated to one another. That is such a huge relation.
That's a huge relation.
They also stated that Emoticon would be, quote, functioning under a very different infrastructure than DashCon did, with a more experienced and well-rounded staff. Emoticon was later canceled with their official Tumblr account citing personal, financial, and safety issues.
Three pretty big issues to have when planning a festival. Did they just scapegoat like the third person? And they were like, oh, yeah, DashCon was bad because of that one guy. Like,
maybe.
You know, like what?
Or that like they were like, let's do it again. And that third person was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, wow. And then It says, see also Fire Festival and TanaCon.
TanaCon, which TanaCon. I clicked on, and it takes you to the Wikipedia page for Tana Mongo, who is a YouTube person who announced on May 26, 2018, that she would be hosting her own convention titled TanaCon at the same time and in the same city as VidCon 2018. Because VidCon failed to give her the rights at the convention of a featured creator. It took place in Anaheim, California at the Anaheim Marriott Suites on June 22nd, 2018 and was canceled the same day.
If I ever try to organize like a conference or festival, will you take me to the doctor? Because I think it would be a sign of some disorder. Like there's just no way I would ever...
It's such a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I just I don't have what it takes.
But it's so tempting.
Is it? What appeals to you about it?
I have no idea. I'm just like everyone has tried and failed, so I just trust that they are tempted by something specific.
Yeah, there is that feeling of like, well, everyone else is incompetent, but I'm pretty competent and functional. Maybe I could do it.
But
like, is it also that like the power to like you could gather a large group of people and they would come, you know? It's like that
I think is tempting. Yeah, like to be like, I have moved the earth.
Yeah, you're playing The Sims IRL.
And also you're just like, I'll just rent the hotel and then people will come. And then I don't know, I'm not actually tempted to do it, but I don't know, maybe it's just because I can't think of a good enough theme.
Yeah.
Or like, what good comes? I don't know. Have you ever been to conventions that you liked?
Yeah. I mean, I've gone to a lot of comics conventions and really enjoyed them. Small Press Expo.
Max FunCon was great.
Max FunCon.
I don't think you went.
I don't think I've ever gone. No.
Yeah. But I went and it was awesome.
I've heard it's lovely. I know friends who met each other and married after.
Wow.
Max FunCon. Yeah. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. But
I like going to conventions for things I am not participating in. Like I used to go to like the Javits Center and I went to a car convention, which was really weird.
Oh yeah.
Really weird. I went to the toy fair. Like I went to IBS, the International Beauty something. But I know that the acronym was IBS, and I found that really funny.
Were you just walking around being like, I'm here for the wrong reason. Where's the bathroom?
Yeah, nobody else thought that was funny or interesting at all. I thought it was hilarious.
That's really funny.
But yeah, I like very specific meetings.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would like to go to more conventions. I guess maybe that's just the pandemic speaking.
I want to go to like a snack food convention or, you know, that would be cool.
Oh, yeah. Where you get to sample a bunch of snack foods and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Chips. Yeah. A chip convention.
Yeah.
Get me in there.
I think I would enjoy going to like a bridal convention.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds nightmarish.
Why?
Bridal?
Yeah. Just to see like what's new in bridal bullshit.
I hate that stuff so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be interesting.
What if it was bridal? BRIDLE.
Well, then I'm in. A horse convention would almost be like too overwhelming. I went to one when I was a kid. Oh, I went to Brayer Fest
when I was a kid
in Kentucky.
For the like horse figurines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was real weird. honestly kind of turned me off the hobby a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it was so intense.
And you saw your future.
Yeah. Yeah. It was dark.
I think it would be fun to go to like a dollhouse convention.
Oh my God. Yes. Dollhouse. Oh, they're so cute. They're everything so about cute. Them. Like buying that little toilet would like almost, you know, I wanted to get so many more little things.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
I could see getting real into that.
Yeah, I was kind of into that when I was a kid. I subscribed to Nutshell News, which was, I was a nerdy. I just liked looking at like the pictures of the little thing. I bought like one chair, you know, because they're very expensive.
Yeah.
So I bought like one little dollhouse chair. And that was like the one thing I let myself get.
Have we already talked on this podcast about Sarah Schaefer's Ha Ha Hole?
No, but oh my God. Ha Ha Hole.
Sarah Schaefer, who has a great podcast called The Schaefer Shakedown. She's really into miniatures. She's like refurbishing a dollhouse herself. And she also created a miniature comedy club that is like perfectly to scale. And it's like a fascinating project. I encourage you to check out her Instagram and listen to her podcast about it because she did such a good job.
It's so adorable. She's really good.
Yeah, she's really good.
Doing that stuff.
And
the details. Ugh.
Yeah, there's like a green room. And like a lit up sign. It's so
the little like mini fridge.
Ugh, yeah.
It lights up. Oh God.
It's great.
So cute.
It's great. Miniatures are incredible.
They're incredible.
All right. Does that conclude Wiki of the Week?
Yeah.
That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Yeah, I learned, yeah, I think I knew this already, but it just solidified this for me that I'm not going to throw a convention. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So I know y'all were looking forward to LisaCon, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Canceled due to financial and safety reasons.
And I learned that Anna Mongo is a person.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that previously.
Yeah. Am I better for this knowledge? I'd say yes.
Neutral.
I'm a good person now.
Maybe a lateral move.
Uh-huh.
Should I do some store names?
Yes, please.
I'm just seriously catching up here. Yeah. We've got a backlog.
Yeah.
I'll do a few. So these are weird store names that you just can't get out of your freaking skull after you see them because they're so annoying and weird. Some of these... I don't know why they're weird. Like this one, Burger and Cream. Supposedly, this person wrote, supposedly it's biblical somehow. I'm like, how?
Burger and Cream?
Burger and Cream.
I just tried Googling it and it was like, did you mean Foster's Freeze?
I mean, it sounds tasty to me. I don't know.
No, it's in Auburn and Grass Valley. I'm surprised I haven't gone there.
They found the name weird and disturbing. I don't know why. This one was not even officially submitted, but a friend who lives in Stratford mentioned a place called Soup Surreal.
Soup Surreal?
Soup Surreal. And it's next to a fancy new weed shop called Cannabis. just the whole thing. I just hate it.
Soup Surreal.
Yeah.
That's a very weird fucking name for a restaurant.
It's so weird.
That raises a lot of questions. I can see why that would trouble you.
It's troubling, right?
Yeah. Very troubling.
Volcano. That's a gift shop in Iceland. I think that's cute.
Yeah. Volcano.
Volcano, because they got wool and they have volcanoes.
Yeah.
B&S Nutrition. I've never been there, but I chuckle every time I pass because it's really stupid. It makes me think someone opened a vitamin shop without believing that vitamins are good for anything. It's funny. This name of a window treatment business in my hometown has always fucked me up. Blinds by Noon Shutters Real Soon.
Wow.
Sounds like an old timey like cowboy aphorism.
It sounds like if it's yellow, let it mellow.
Yeah.
If it's brown, flush it down.
A hair salon called Hairs.
No. Just hairs. Oh, that one really got robbed.
That's really good.
Completely ungoogleable.
This one, I hate this one so much. This person wrote, I am driven to rage every time I pass this total dive bar in Portland, Oregon, named the Tired Feet Tavern. And feet is spelled F-E-A-T.
Oh,
Tired
wow.
Tired Feet Tavern. And it has a logo of a footprint. Like, Tired Feet, feet is dumb. Yeah. Already, they say that's a dumb name for a tavern, but then, like, okay, come on in, your feet are tired, hang out for a bit. But no, they went with a pun, feet, implying that your amazing feet was actually a bit tired, but then they put feet on. It's just, I hate
it's
it.
All, yeah,
it's so bad.
That. I hate that.
Throw it in the garbage. this person wrote Bare Essentials. I think they changed their name to Bare Minerals. I like this one because I
Bare
use
Essentials.
I
yeah.
I use Bare Essentials like foundation every day. But the triple portmanteau of essentials, scent, and sensual is really something. And I agree. Yeah. It has always bothered me. It doesn't roll off
it's
the tongue.
It's too much.
It's way too much. But it is my favorite product in some ways. So I keep wow. using it, even though I hate the name. And then one more. I'll do one more today. There's a lovely little bridal shop called The Wedding Sewer near us in Australia. Every time we drive past, my wife and I cheerily call out the name, of course, pronouncing sewer like the tunnel system your sewage goes down, the wedding sewer. It's spelled the same way.
Yeah. Why are they so confident that that's not what the store name means?
Yeah, it might just be.
Maybe that's how they want it to be pronounced.
The wedding sewer. They would definitely have a booth at a bridal convention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A wedding sewer. That would be like a way for you to like poop while you're wearing a big fancy dress.
Yeah, or it's just like those rental porta potties that are like wedding fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a white and black, like nice looking porta john. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I was in one of those one time at a wedding and that they had like business cards for like if you wanted to rent them in the future.
Really?
And I lost the business card and I was really mad because it was really funny.
Was it like a nice porta potty?
Yeah.
Was it one of those ones where it's like you go up a staircase and then there's several?
Yes.
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 They had those. They always have those at the Critics' Choice Awards because it's at like an it's in like an airport hangar. And then you have to go outside and like
yeah.
It's pretty funny to see people in really fancy dresses like march up those steps to the porta potty.
Really funny.
I loved it.
Well, thank you for sending us those.
We love them. You can send us more stuff, wiki pages, bad store names, butt pics, whatever, at babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us online. I'm at Mr. Emily Heller.
I'm Elisa Draws or Lisa Hannawalt on TikTok.
Oh,
I haven't been using much lately, but I'm on there.
Yeah, I'm on there and I've posted one video and I never will again, I think.
Yeah, just... It's hard to make those videos. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. I don't know how to do it and I'm scared to learn.
Yeah, it's scary.
Well,
thanks to our producer, Rob Pera.
Thanks to my brother, Nate Heller, for our theme songs.
And goodbye. Goodbye. Yay! Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses. Everything, baby geniuses, we know everything. Hey, it's John Moe, and look, these are challenging times for our mental and emotional health. I get it. That's why I'm so excited for my new podcast, Depresh Mode. We're tackling depression, anxiety, trauma, stress, the kinds of things that are just super common but don't get talked about nearly enough. Conversations that are illuminating, honest, and sometimes pretty funny, with folks like Patton Oswalt, Kelsey Darra, and Open Mike Eagle. I have this public-facing self, and then I have my emotional self that tends to stay hidden. It was about finding a way to communicate to somebody that, like, there's terrible shit going on back here. Plus psychiatrists, psychologists, and all kinds of folks. On Depression Mode, we're working together, learning, helping each other out. We're a team. Join our team. Depression Mode for maximum fun, wherever you get your podcasts. MaximumFun.org. Comedy and culture. Artist owned. Audience supported.